What's up, Podcast Land? Episode number 64 of the Behind the Barricade podcast starts right now. My name is John O'Connor, and like always, I'm with Daniel Tao. And today, we are joined with Derek Blevins. He is the guitarist, and he is the clean vocalist of the band My Ticket Home. We talk about a whole bunch of topics, including new music, their new label, possibly, meatspin.com, and a hell of a lot more. So it was a fun-ass interview, and we thank Derek so much for his time. Before we get into that, thank you guys so much for liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. You know, I keep saying this each and every episode, but it really means the world to us. Thank you so much. We're trying to make this thing that we're doing, this podcast, bigger and better by the day. And thanks to all of you checking us out and, you know, being fans of ours, subscribing to us, leaving ratings and reviews. We're able to do that. So, you know, we're close to 100 episodes, and at the very beginning of this, I always thought, okay, if by 100 episodes I'm not loving what I'm doing, and if people aren't loving what we're doing, we're just going to tap out. And thankfully, a lot of you really enjoy what we're doing, so we might keep you going. You never know. But a lot can happen between now and then. So please, let your friends know about this. You know, invite them to like our page on Facebook. We're getting a lot of great acts coming in. And yeah, that's basically about it. So anyways, episode number 64 of the podcast featuring Derek Blevins of My Ticket Home starts right now.
Columbus, Ohio, my house, actually. This is the first interview I've ever done out of my house, so this is fucking sick.
Oh, don't you love technology?
What's that?
Don't you love technology?
I love it. It's a beautiful thing, man. It is beautiful.
Other than Skype wanting to update your information over and over. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And needing like 10 verification codes to get back in it and all that.
and also little kids walking around with iPhones and iPads. That's another thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pokemon Go? Shit, dude. Everybody's got a little phone now.
So are you a Pokemon goer?
My band will be embarrassed about me saying this, but I totally am, all right, because I'm in pretty deep, to be honest with you.
Do you use PokeRadar?
No, because I heard that a lot of those websites, they'll shut your shit down, and to be perfectly honest with you, if I lose it, I'm done, like, because I don't care that much.
Yeah. So
gonna mess with it.
Yo, honestly, I use that PokeRadar app and got like 90% of them.
Really?
Dude, you want to know why? Because if you go to Times Square and New York, dude, you'll catch, it shows you like every single rare Pokemon just like appears on your map. I was literally fucking running from one end of Central Park to another. I'm like, holy shit, we got like 2 minutes, let's go, and like booking it. But it was just to, like, have fun. Like, I really don't care that much about it. Like, if I didn't catch
it,
I'd
right.
be like...
I get it, though. It's exhilarating, you know? Yeah. You just shit you want, you go get it. It's fun.
Yeah, but I haven't gotten my shit, you know, locked down. So, like I said, I've also caught, like, 90% of them. So, there's, like, no reason to use it around here in, like, normal areas. Because none of that shit pops up.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I know myself. I know how badly addicted I will be to that game, to the point where like I won't even like sleep or shower or even show up to work. Like I'm that bad when it comes to like certain video games.
I mean, it's easy to get that way, dude. These games are so stimulating these days that you don't want to stop playing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And especially when you're basically in the game too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. Yeah.
Virtual reality.
Physically. Right. Absolutely.
That shit's nuts, man.
But yeah, I don't know.
What does that have to do with My Ticket Home, Dan?
He plays Pokemon Go, and so
well,
do
that's
we.
The only thing. Yes. So anyways, like we said before, you're the guitarist and you also do the clean vocals in My Ticket Home. And your band is probably one of the most unique bands I've heard in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
Oh, shit. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. I actually saw you guys once. It was at Stanhope House back in 2012, 2013. You were touring with Our Last Night and Lost for Words. And
Yeah.
It was like me and like two other people were the only ones that knew like most of the words to your band.
Yeah, dude. I remember that shit. And honestly, doing that tour was a lot of fun because a lot of those shows were like that. And, you know, it was kind of like us going in and trying to win people over. And I felt like for the most part, we did gain a lot of fans off that tour. So I guess it's sick that you guys knew the words, but it's also just as sick that they didn't, because hopefully we won some of them over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the whole live performance was just literally blew me away, because I know a lot of bands just dial it in sometimes, but like all four of you were just going fucking apeshit on stage. So you actually wanted to be there. So, I mean, big props to you.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Of course. So I have to ask, how did the whole puke rock thing come about?
All right. So basically it started as we were going to call a song puke rock. Uh-huh. And then we started fucking around and saying it way more, just because, you know, once we come up with the joke, we bury it into the ground. And, you know, and after that, we were just, you know, making all our computer backgrounds and shit like that. And before we knew it, like when we, you know, came out with Strangers Only, there was all these, you know, little like subgenres that people wanted to put us in, and we felt like we were going to be put in. And to be perfectly honest with you, all the ones that we knew we were going to be related to, we didn't necessarily want to be related to. So we kind of just decided, like, fuck it, we're just going to call it puke rock and just do our own thing and just have it, you know, have it be something that only we do, I guess. So really it started as something that wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. And now it's cool because you see like fans and like interview shit and all kinds of stuff like that say like hashtag puke rock or puke rock on there. Like, it's cool that it became a thing, because it now it's really relevant to us. So I'm stoked about it for sure.
I've never heard of it before. What do you do to like define puke rock? Like, how do you bring that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I absolutely do. Really. I couldn't give you an exact definition, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just, we thought it sounded cool. And, like I said, you know, we didn't really know where people were going to put us, subgenre or whatever wise. So we just rolled with that and started calling ourselves puke rock as our genre, I guess.
Do you scream?
And here we are.
Do you scream at all in your music?
In our new music?
Well, and like after that label.
After Rise?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is like after you like kind of like labeled it jokingly puke rock, do you have like screaming in your, like, I'm just trying to say like, oh, you know, that guy's screaming, so that's why it's called puke rock.
Well, it's like half screaming, half like more shouting. Mm-hmm. It's like audible screaming. Like, you know exactly what Nick, the bass and the screamer, is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it has nothing to do with the name. It's literally just that's the music we play, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we base that off of our music. Nothing vice versa.
Yes, Dan. So there's nothing, there's no puking whatsoever in this type of music.
Mm-hmm. Got that? There's no puking sounds. There's no puking actions.
Not
Maybe after nights of drinking, but that's every band.
Yeah, that's about the only time. And I'm pretty positive I have acid reflux. Like, I'm not sure. I haven't been diagnosed, but I can't eat banana peppers and drink beer in the same night.
Why would you do that?
Banana peppers are delicious. Put those bitches on everything.
Just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But you know, I like to live a little.
Mm-hmm. Live a little now, and then pay for it severely later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I'll worry about it later. That's my mentality, I guess.
I mean, that's a all right mentality. I mean, like, if you want to go skydiving, you're like, okay, you know what? There's a chance that I might be seriously injured or die, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm in the moment right now. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really your only option, you know.
Yeah,
just go.
This guy I helped, I work at a bank, and he was like, oh, you know, I love skydiving. I went before, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'll only go into water. And I was like, oh, you know, what's the reasoning? He's like, oh, so I went with this guy, gave you the standard. You know, I've jumped out of the planes with, you know, hundreds of people, and you're completely safe. I know what to do, just blah, 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 blah. Well, I guess this guy was, like, a little bit maybe undersized, or I don't know. It was either – he was opposite of the size of the customer I was helping. So I guess that the way he landed, it kind of, like, he came in too fast or something, and the customer, like, had to put all his weight in his foot, and his bone just came completely out of his skin. And he's like, ooh, it was an amazing time, but I'll only go into water because my bone came out. I know, right?
That, you know, that is why I can confidently say I will never skydive.
But, I mean, come on. What happens if you land in water?
Roller coasters are kind of the same thing. Like, I get it. They're built and they're safe. You know, they're designed to be safe. But all it takes is for you to be that one in a million chance that just fucks everything up. Like, and then you wake up dead.
Could you imagine on Superman coming out of that shit and, like, going face first into the concrete?
He'd be fine, though. He'd get up with a perfect jawline and, you know, no harm, no foul. He's Superman.
No scrapes, nothing.
Yeah, he'd be straight.
Dan, we're not Superman, unfortunately. We are mere mortals.
No, I actually meant the ride Superman at Six Flags.
Oh.
You know, you actually lay on your stomach. You know that?
No, yeah. I have not read.
What happens is you, like, I don't remember exactly, but I think you're, like, kind of standing up. And it ends up to that you're like Superman. You're laying on your stomach on, like, the roller coaster. And you're, like, underneath the curves instead of, like, sitting on top of them, obviously, in a roller coaster. So, like, dude, you could come down one of the loops, and if it breaks, you're just smashing right into the concrete.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We're like writing Final Destination, like, 8 or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, landing into the ocean, and your parachute just stays open, and you get freaking suffocated under the water. Like, that could happen. I mean, you're not, like, you're safe from getting hurt or killed from landing in the water, you know?
Right. Shit still goes down in the water.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Then you have the underwater sea critters that you can't really see from high above. I mean, there's a lot of shit. And plus, if you hit the water a certain way, it's
exactly.
Like concrete.
You could die. Yeah.
Yes.
You could be like Batman and just get taken out by a fucking shark.
If you made it out of that alive, if you fucking ended up in the water, and then you got eaten by a shark, then you'd be really pissed.
Yeah, you'd have to be pissed.
Best time of my life until I got eaten by a shark.
What a whirlwind of emotions that would be, all in a matter of like 2 minutes.
Happy, yeah. And extreme happiness, extreme sadness, all in one shot.
So, Derek, were you expecting talking about dying underwater in this interview at all?
Absolutely not. But to be honest with you, I mean, you never know how they can go. So here we are.
Yeah. Well, it's better than most of those interviews that you hear. Oh, so you're from My Ticket Home. You're from Columbus. Okay. You play something called puke rock. Oh, you have a new album out like this. And it's just the same droning over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I prefer an interview where they're actually talking to me and not, you know, just fucking shaking, asking me questions that I've heard 1,000 times. No offense to any of them. You know, I get it. They want to do a good job. I get that. But this shit, it gets old for me. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. And it gets old for the people listening because it's the same fucking thing over and over.
Exactly. I've already answered that. If the fans have seen that, they already know what's up. Like, you know. And now we're on Pokemon Go and dying underwater. So it's not something I brought up before.
Oh, man.
So you said you're in Columbus right now. Do you have a side job, or is My Ticket Home your number one priority?
Actually, I technically have 3 jobs. I work at Sprint. I'm a salesman over there. I work for a skate shop here at home. And then I work for a skate park here at home. And then also, of course, the band, which, you know, we practice like fairly often and do stuff pretty often. So I guess in a sense, I actually have 4 jobs. But to be honest with you, I love doing all of it. So whether or not my plate is full as hell, I would rather have a full plate than nothing going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big ups for that, man. Like, I work 2 jobs along with this podcast. Dan works his job, the podcast. He's got a band too. So, I mean, we know exactly what a full plate is. And for you to be able to take off, like, basically when you want and to do tours, man, that's pretty awesome to have that kind of flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have rounded myself with jobs that would let me do that. Like, I, you know, if I go into getting a job, I'm ahead of time letting them know that, hey, I'm probably going to leave for like a month at a time every once in a while. And if they say cool, then, you know, I'm cool. And if they say no, then I go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been with Sprint for a while because they're cool about it and really respectful about the whole thing. But to be perfectly honest with you, I do base a lot of the things that I do off the band because, you know, obviously it's what I enjoy doing most. So
now this might sound like a stupid question, but you're doing this because the band does not provide you with enough income to kind of, or are you doing this to get extra money and just to be able to blow it on shit?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, if we toured 8 months out of the year, you know, we'd be fine money wise, but nobody wants to do that. You know, like, we all want to be home and we all like our home lives as well as touring. So we're trying to kind of just find a middle ground where, cause you know, we all live on our own and shit. So we do have to make enough money to obviously not only stay afloat, but we're all young too. We want to, you know, have money to blow, like you said. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in a sense, it's all extra money, but at the same time, because we kind of pick and choose our tours a little more wisely now, you know, this is our primary source of income until obviously we go back out.
Were you expecting that to happen? Like when you're trying to, you know, form a band, were you expecting it to be, all right, I'm going to get 100% all my income from this band and everything is going to be great? Or were you under the impression, hey, listen, I'm going to have to do things outside of the band in order to live and, you know, be able to blow your money on shit?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, I think we all knew going into it that, you know, we're not going to get rich quick. Like, it's something that you have to put time and effort in and actually work toward rather than, you know, something that just you get lucky on, which, you know, there are those bands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not something that we expected. I am honestly proud to say that, like, every dude in my band works their fucking ass off, and I'd like to think that I do the same. And I think that's really what pays off. So, you know, I imagine if we would have went into it assuming that we were going to get big right off the rip, we probably wouldn't, you know, have worked nearly as hard as we have at this point. And, you know, we may not be anywhere for all I know. So it's basically to answer your question, you know, we did not expect to, you know, for it to pick up super quickly. We knew we were going to have to work for a while at home, you know, other than the band, to make it work, at least for now. You know, ideally, I'd love to just, you know, get paid just for doing a few tours a year and be, you know, more than comfortable. But, you know, obviously, like I said, that shit takes time. Mm-hmm. So playing it by ear.
And that's how you have to do things as a band nowadays. Like, you don't, Dan has said on previous podcasts, you know, you don't look at a Five-Finger Death Punch music video, see them coming out of a tour bus, you know, rocking stadiums and arenas and whatnot. And it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, they put in the work. I mean, you guys obviously put in work too. And, you know, it's not as glamorous as people think.
Right, right. There is absolutely a back end, you know, when it comes to all the excitement that comes from it. Just because, you know, like we both just said, it does take a lot of work, you know, to get anywhere. Like, and a lot of people don't really recognize that, which, I mean, it sucks. But at the same time, you know, when I was fucking 5 years ago, I wouldn't have known how much work went into it either, you know? So, I mean, I get it, but it is one of those things that a lot more shit happens behind the scenes than people realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when nowadays you're basically working to build, like, a back catalog. So, I mean, I don't know if you do YouTube videos and all that stuff, but, I mean, with music nowadays, that's what you're doing. Like, I mean, yeah, you have the potential for this one video to get 1 million views in 10 years or whatever to make money. And, like, your songs, you know, one day you might have so many songs and that many, you know, hits that you'll be able to make money without even touring. So, you know, you just got to work towards that, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the idea right there. Make money doing what you love.
Hell yeah. And if you guys want to spend your hard-earned bucks on My Ticket Home, they're playing a nice little weekend warrior, nice East Coast action. Next Friday, you'll be at the Lab at Game Changer World in Howell, New Jersey. The 29th, you're going to be at Sold Out Fest, I think. What is it?
Yep,
something like that? Yeah.
Yep.
Sold Out Fest at The Chance, Poughkeepsie, New York, one of Dan's favorite venues. And then October 30th at Creep Records in Philly.
Yep. All three of those shows are going to be sick. So come out.
Yeah, especially Sold Out Fest. You're playing with like 20 other bands. You're playing with Beartooth, Every Time I Die. I think Fit for Kings is on that one, and Old Wounds, I think. That entire tour is going to be up there, so.
Yeah, it's definitely a super cool festival. Got a lot of homies on that. Plus, I'm excited to watch Every Time I Die because they fucking rip. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, they are some insane gentlemen, but they are some of the smartest guys you'll ever talk with.
yeah, absolutely. Keith is really fucking smart.
Yeah, I think he used to be, like an English teacher or English professor or something like that?
Something like that. I don't know.
Can you imagine being one of those kids? Like, dude, that guy fucking taught me. Now he's like a popular, rock and metal.
I'd be psyched. I'd be so psyched. That would be sick. My teacher, my English teacher. Shit.
Well, yeah, I think that's what a few kids actually went out and said about what was his name? I think his name was Will. He was the lead singer of Amber Pacific, who is now, I think, the high school principal out in Washington, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his kids are just I guess maybe sucking up, saying how much Amber Pacific is a great band and whatnot, which they are. Don't get me wrong, but it's.
No, I would do the same if I was a student at that school. No matter if I liked them or not, I would absolutely do that. Best band in the world for 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So were you a suck up in high school, or did you just, exist everyone else?
Basically, I would just exist. Honestly, I did pretty poorly because I skipped quite a lot. So I got into a lot of trouble in high school. I was kind of a shithead, but really for no reason. I didn't do anything necessarily too bad. It was just all about skipping school because I genuinely hated being there. And to be perfectly honest with you, everyone says, I wish I could go back. Things were easier. Fuck that. Nah, high school sucks. I had friends. That was all cool. Everything was fine. It was literally just the school part of it. I just said, I don't know. It wasn't for me.
No, 100% agree with you there. Although, Dan, weren't you a fan of your high school?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't.
Play it up for the boys. I got it.
No, really, it wasn't that bad. I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like the only reason I'd say I would do it over again is because I feel like I'm a lot more intelligent than I was in high school, and I feel like my life would be a lot better now if I went to college and busted my ass in high school. I know I'm not under the impression that you need to go to college to make a living, but I feel like if you bust your ass and you're going to college for what you actually love and want to do, then you can make something of it. But if you're just going, I see a lot of people that go to school for music, business and stuff, John, not him exactly, but they go back to school for something else. It's I'm sorry, if I spent $100,000 or less, close to that, on schooling for something I didn't want to do, I'm going to choose to do it because I spent $70,000. I'm not go back and spend another $70,000. But
yeah, absolutely.
I hated it. I hate being, I don't know, there's a lot of teachers that were really good and then some that were poor and you suffered because of that. And, a lot of I don't really have that much problems with authority, but you know how it is when people are telling you what to do when you're a kid and now they don't actually have the right, they're not setting you on the right path, but you have to listen to them because they're an authority figure. It's just something I don't necessarily agree with all the time, like most people.
Yeah. And I don't really miss it. I don't really miss being bossed around at
all. Oh, exactly.
Once I graduated, that was it. I was done with school. Plus, like you said, I didn't want to go to college for something that I wasn't sure of and then end up, thousands of dollars in debt for the rest of my life.
And they don't really train you that much in that aspect. It's just you need to go to college. It's not let's spend 4 years figuring out what you should be doing and what college you should be going to. It's just you up and need to decide. And my parents were they kind of let off the reins with me. And it was more, you need to go to college and you need to figure it out yourself. So I'm I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go to college,
It's tough because then you have people like me who – went to college. The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just roll with it. Fuck it.
Yeah, we're rolling with it. But anyways, back to the college. If you're going there for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, you're not sure of what you want to do, then you're $100,000 in debt. You can't really get shit off the ground. You can't start your own business. You can't get any loans. Mm-hmm. Your credit score is basically shit because of the amount of college loans that you have to take out and stuff like that. I mean, my credit score is actually pretty good, thankfully. But I mean, I am over $100,000 in debt. And am I ever going to actually pay that off? I don't know. And it scares the living fuck out of me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big mountain to chip away at. But even still, obviously it can be done. Shit can be done. And I'm not necessarily saying that, like, I'm against school, but, like, by all means, if you know what you want to do, fucking roll with it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Hell yeah. Spend the money, get you a degree, and do what you want for the rest of your life. But if you don't know what you're doing, you know, play it smart. Like, because it hurts then when you're in a situation, like, you know, per se, you're in. Not to say you're not going to use your degree for what you have, you know, but, you know, it does suck now having to look at that and be like, shit, now I got to pay all that.
I think it's funny when you look for jobs and there's like random ones. For instance, I was looking at bank jobs in the past, and some of them, just for like the random ones, you have to have like this weird credit, you know, loan processing degree. Obviously, that's something more people will go back to school and get. But I mean, dude, who comes out of college saying they want to be a loan processor and goes to school for that, you know?
right. I don't know anybody, I don't think.
Exactly. I doubt anyone actually came out of high school and said they wanted to do that. But
and then again, you know, if you go to college and then like halfway or three quarters of the way through, you're like, wait a second, psychology sucks. What the fuck was I thinking? And then you go to start over, you know, you're not getting your money back. You'd have to keep going and start everything all over again.
Yeah, you're already in those classes. Like,
the only good thing about that is, like, if you get your gen ed courses out of the way.
Yeah, if you get the core classes, that's fine. Like, the math, the English, whatever science it is, I get that, but, you know.
Yeah, because those all transfer, I assume, right? Yeah. All your average, it's all fucking transfer over.
Yeah, well, if it's under the same university, you're fine. But, like, if you go to, let's say, a community college and go to transfer to a four-year university, they pick and choose which ones you have to – they take. So if you have a associate's degree in whatever and you already have, like, 48 business credits, a university can go, okay, that's cool and all, but we're only going to take 24 of them. And there's nothing you could do or say about it, which completely blows. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it absolutely sucks, you know?
It's all a money game in the end. That's all it is. But
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's everything at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, which sucks. Too bad you can't just, you know, actually get to do what you love. You know, there's only so many people that could actually, you know, be in a band full time, you know, or be a or mix records or produce records or whatever. You know, why can't we all just be like, all right, you know what? Look. College sucks. Why is this mandatory? It's the same shit over and over again. And, you know, it's not really preparing me for a degree because, look, once if I get a degree and I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to apply for jobs. No, you need a master's degree. Okay, go back to school for a master's. No, you need a doctorate. And the process keeps going on and on and completely. It's terrible, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's hard when – you know, obviously, like wanting to be a music producer or be a musician, you know, those goals seem so outlandish that, like, it almost makes more sense to go to college because it's like, well, realistically, I can go get a degree, do this and this and this. But, I mean, all anybody really has to realize is you just have to be willing to put the fucking work in. Just like college, you know, you're going to have to put the work in to pass college. You're going to have to put the work in to do whatever else you want in your life. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the simple fact of the matter. If you put the work in, it'll pay off. But if you're not willing to do that, then I mean, go to fucking school.
So now you, like,
I don't know.
So now you're in a band. Tell us what would be, because for me being in local bands, and John can contest to this too. We feel like at least this is my opinion. I feel like the hardest part and the reason why it's so hard to make it as a band is getting four or five people that work hard and agree on shit. Do you feel like that's the reason it's so hard to make it in the music industry, or is it just that there's so many people, or, you know, just the business is hard? What would you say is like the primary reason why people say go to college and not try to be, you know, a famous musician because it might not work out?
Well, I mean, I would say there's a lot of different factors. What you said, you know, finding enough people that you, number one, like enough, and two that are talented enough, and three that you can basically live with, you know, that are all on the same page as you musically and that all are striving for the same goal and willing to work hard for it. And then there's obviously the fact that, you know, in no matter what scene or, you know, who you're playing for, there's always going to be you know, overflow. Every genre is oversaturated with a million bands that, you know, want to be popular. And, you know, it's hard to stand out when there's a million other bands in line, you know, waiting for the same exact thing you are. It's like, you have to, I would say the hardest thing, you know, and combining both of those two things, the hardest thing about being a band is literally just being able to stand out. I mean, and I think a bigger problem with a lot of these other bands is that they're not even willing to try. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in the safe zone and, you know, play what everybody else is playing because they know it'll be received well. And that's all fine and dandy. Like, it's your band. Do whatever the fuck you want. But, I mean, when you look at these bands that have a long, sustaining career, they don't sound like anybody but themselves, you know? Like, I use examples like Incubus or Deftones or Slipknot or any of these bands that just, as soon as a song comes on, you know it's their band.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And, like, just with even with our previous records, you know, we were that band at one point where we sounded like every other band, you know, and it's we liked it at the time, and it's just one of those things that I feel like you have to be willing to step out of. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be sitting for a while.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, but, you know, you do really have to have an identity for yourself. And, you know, with the whole, like, puke rock thing, like, as, you know, it starts off as a joke, but, like, people notice that shit. I mean, like, you know, it really stands out. And, I mean, I think you have a good thing going with that. I mean, your last album, Strangers Only, was just... It was a complete mind fuck of a record, and I say it in the greatest way possible. I mean, it's like half grunge, half nu metal, half, you know, punk, half alternative. It's like 20 different genres all smashed into one, and it just sounds fucking great. I mean,
Thanks.
Yeah. But I mean, anyways, like, that came out in 2013, so that was 3 years ago, and. Are you still on Rice Records anymore or no?
No, we are not.
Okay. So was that like a 2-album deal type of deal or?
No. To make a long story short, we had essentially fulfilled our obligation to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had an option for one more, but they didn't take it in time. So we just went ahead and parted ways. It wasn't anything negative or anything, you know, like we were, you know, fuck you guys kind of a thing. It was literally just, it was time, you know, it was time for us to go our separate way and for them to do their thing. And I think they recognized that and we recognized that. And so we split.
Hey, it happens. I mean, you're not, bands don't have to, someone got a text.
That was your boy.
Bing.
Fries are done. Anyways. So, you know, it's been 3 years. I saw some hints about playing some new songs on this upcoming Weekend Warrior run that you're doing. Do we have some sort of release time or date? Or are you self-releasing? Are you in talks with labels? What's going on with you guys?
Okay. So we'll start with the music portion. We have... more than enough material written, much more than enough material written. To be perfectly honest with you, we were originally thinking about self-releasing because we wanted to make all the money. But at this point, now we're in talks with some people. There ended up being, you know, a few labels interested and stuff. So we've been, that's honestly what's taken so long is we started, you know, negotiating with people and, we tried to go a few different options because obviously, you know, the smart route to take is to see what all of your options are. So we did. And, you know, now we found a spot we want to be. And so as lame as this fucking sounds, I'm not allowed to talk about it yet.
Of course,
but, yes. You know, the news will be out soon. And yeah, I think people will be excited. But as far as like music itself goes, we're ready. Now that we have the label shit for the most part worked out, we can, you know, finally sit down and get into a studio and just go ahead and get these songs pumped out and hopefully have music out, you know, as soon as possible. Because we're all just as antsy as everyone else is. You know, like we've been sitting on that record for 3 years and we've been writing shit the entire time that record's been out. So we have songs that we're sick of now that we had written after that. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's just been a long time. And I definitely understand, you know, everybody. And I appreciate this also, everybody patiently waiting, because it's, you know, we're not trying to build up any crazy anticipation or anything. It's literally just about getting our ducks in a row so that we can properly release this and do this shit right.
You mean you're not pulling off a Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy type of deal?
Oh, right. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and play it safe.
Yeah, I mean, that was a burning question on a lot of people's minds. A lot of people reached out to us and they're like, what's going on with My Ticket Home? New music. I'm like, all right, I'll ask them. Fuck, take it easy. It'll come up. But I mean, you got a lot of people fucking beyond excited to hear these new songs. And, you know, it is tough. It's, you know, trying to self-release it. Then you have to find a buyer that will help produce it. Then you got to find a distributor. It's not just, okay, you know what, we're going to put it up on iTunes and let's see what happens with it. It's, you know, it's a bigger thing than most people realize.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot more that goes into it than I even realized, to be honest with you. Like, there was, when we started really sitting down and discussing it, you know, just talking about all the things that were going to go into it. Now, don't get me wrong, we were prepared. Like, we were ready to pull the trigger on that shit. But once we, you know, kind of all talked about it and we had all these offers coming in, it was like, it makes sense to at least see what's going to happen with it, rather than just say, fuck everybody, we're going to do this ourselves, and then potentially, you know, lose a lot of money or fans or what have you. Yeah. So I definitely think that we have taking the right path. It's just now a matter of waiting to get in the studio and getting the shit out.
All right. So you basically narrowed it down to a certain label, Label X. You're waiting for the whole paperwork to come in, and then you're going to go in the studio and knock it out. It's basically what you're saying, right?
Correct. As soon as we possibly can, and as soon as we can release it, we will. Like, we're not going to dick around and sit on it for a year. It's going to be when it's done. We're going to start getting shit rolling and get it out as soon as we can, because we recognize, just like everybody else it does, that it's been a very long time. And, you know, we're just as ready. Like I said, we are just as ready as they are.
Yeah, it is rough. But I mean, this is actually the second band I've heard of on Rise. I'm not too sure what happened with the other band. The other band happens to be Danger Kids, and they had one phenomenal record out on Rise. And next thing you know, they didn't go back to Rise for whatever reason. And they're still sitting on these songs, and they were thinking about, you know, self-releasing it. They were thinking about, you know, going to another label. And I think they're still in limbo. But like, all this time is passing where, you know, they made such a mark back in, you know, 3 years ago, same time as you guys, like in 2013, making such a mark with like this one unique sound, where I don't know if the ship has sailed yet. And that's also a big problem with all of this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that, man. I haven't heard much since, but I remember when they put out those videos and shit.
Yeah, I mean, Linkin Park. I don't know if it's the same, but I mean, Linkin Park was a little different, but Disturbed, Breaking Benjamin, and Evanescence, after their like hiatuses, when they came out with their like latest album, it seemed to like launch them, like from the spot that they're already at. So hopefully that does it with you guys.
I mean, obviously, I would love that, but, you know, just like going back into the conversation we had about working and shit, I don't plan on that happening. I mean, that's ideal, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stan, as much as I love My Ticket Home, they're really not at Evanescence's level yet.
No, exactly. But, you know, like I said, a lot of times that maybe, like, these people that were so antsy for your record, like, maybe they'll actually go out and buy it because they haven't heard your shit and a new music in so long that they love it so much they'll go out and buy it. So, you know, hopefully that happens with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely,
because that's the name of the game. I mean, touring is one thing, but you got to buy the records, you got to support. And the same, like, when you guys come to a certain area, go out there, support the bands, because, you know, they might not be around a second time. You know, if God forbid you go on a tour and it completely bombs and you're stuck like owing a shit ton of money, you know, the chances are, you know, you could be breaking up. I'm not saying that it could happen, but I mean, that's a possibility. So for everyone who's thinking, yeah, I'll catch them on the next tour, yeah, they'll probably be on Warped Tour, yeah, they'll probably this and that. No. Look, you buy the ticket early, go out there, you support, you get some merch, because this is how Derek and the group are eating at night. This is how they're getting from one state to another. It's, you know, it's not the label is only doing so much, is what I'm trying to say to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on top of that too, you know, shit happens. Like, you know, like you said, getting your tickets early and making sure you come to see a band. Like, I'm fully with that because I went and saw, for example, obviously we're not them, but I went and saw Slayer recently because that may be the last time I ever get to fucking see them. And it could happen with any band. You know what I mean? Like I said, shit happens. So yeah. it could be your last chance to see the band ever. And you don't really know it, obviously, until, you know,
it happens.
Yeah. I guess.
But yeah, it's rough, but, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do not plan on breaking up anytime soon. So
breaking news.
Yeah, can we just TMZ something? Just tell us something so ridiculous that we'll just headline it, you know, just get a whole bunch of people clicking on our website.
Get us all famous.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice. My Ticket Home says, fuck you, Rise Records, more at 11.
I love that shit, too. Like, you're talking about an album breakup, and then the headline of this podcast would just be like, they say fuck you, and then everyone is like, it's totally not what happened. I love that shit.
Yeah. That's literally how it is. I mean, I can say something ridiculous for you as long as we cover it up with, and like, at once we get into it, you know.
Allegedly.
Right, right.
Let's only cut the piece that he said that will get us the most attention and not give you any other detail that he said afterwards.
See, yeah, now you're thinking, Dan.
Take 30 seconds out of this whole 40-minute interview, and that's all you'll need.
That's all he said. That was the whole interview.
Your one-liner.
It was strange. We were talking about McDonald's. The next thing you know, he just said, you know what, I support Donald Trump. And then that was it. I mean, there was nothing else on there. It was the honest thing in the world.
So that brings us to our next question. Do you support Donald Trump?
Don't go there, Dan.
I knew we were going to go.
That was hysterical.
Well, this is what we need you to do, Derek. Just say Donald Trump and then just say Hillary Clinton. And then we'll splice together everything else. That's really it.
I get you now.
Believe it or not, that's actually what happened to us recently. We talked with a guitar player named Rich Ward. He's the guitarist of the bands Stuck Mojo and Fozzy. And we were talking about like bands that, you know, were like dicks to him on tour. And he actually brought up Scott Ian of Anthrax. And he was saying that he probably had, you know, a bad day or anything. But, you know, he just wasn't that responsive. Next thing you know, like a couple months later, Blabbermouth comes out saying, Rich Ward says Scott Ian is an asshole. I'm like, wait, what? Did he just say that? And it was the oddest thing in the world. Yeah, like listening back, it's like, okay, he kind of said that, but like, you know, people really want like the TMZ headline.
Exactly. Yeah. And all you have to do is just minorly twist, you know, anything, and it becomes out of context. And the next thing you know, you look like a fucking douchebag.
Exactly.
So like, you got to watch what you say these days. Uh-huh. It's very real. Very, very real. And I'm sorry that happened to you. That fucking sucks.
Oh, no. It doesn't matter with us. We actually got some views out of it. Fuck that. That's awesome.
Oh, dang. Hell yeah. Then fuck them. You won anyway. Who cares?
But, I mean, Rich is a friend of the show, and I actually reached out to him. And he basically said, he's like, look, you know, these metal websites, like, glamorizing these titles, not really having that much substance. Don't worry about it. So, thankfully, we're cool in that regard.
Okay. Sick. Well, yeah, at least you guys are still tied, I guess.
But then again, we do have an opening with Scott Ian. We could just say, so, Rich Ward said these things on our show.
Are you an asshole?
There you go. There's your headline.
There you go. Which, believe it or not, actually somewhat helped us get an interview with The Word Alive. Do you remember the story a couple, I guess, months back or years back? I don't even remember how long I've been doing this for. But when the a local band ended up jumping the tour manager of The Word Alive.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I think, down in Tampa or something like that. And allegedly, this local band ended up beating up the tour manager of The Word Alive. And, you know, they basically came out and said, yeah, we're going to blackball you from this venue, whatever. And I'm like, I'm sitting there reading this story. And I'm like, okay, there's no photos. There's no witnesses. There's no nothing. I'm like, I don't know if that happened. And I actually reached out to the band and ended up interviewing the local band that did that. Next thing you know, I somewhat parlayed that into an interview with The Word Alive, which eventually did happen last summer, but I forgot to ask them about the incident, so kind of
so all of that, and you didn't even remember to ask about it.
Yes, I basically fucked that up.
Hey, man, like I said, shit happens.
Now what we're going to do is we're going to cut out the word allegedly, and then we're just going to say John behind the barricade says this happened at that fight. Propaganda.
Yep, that's the way it works, man.
Jesus Christ. Imagine if both you and I, Dan, were part of like the mainstream media, and we're like – and we have like a certain hidden agenda about like certain things. Like if we had like a deal with, let's say, Epitaph Records, and they're competing with, let's say, Rise Records. And our main focus is to say that Epitaph sells better records than Rise Records. And we get to make up stories about Rise Record bands. How fucked up would that be? Because that's basically what's happening with, you know,
presidential debates.
Yeah, presidential debates, you know, like random stories about certain liberals and conservatives, Republicans, Democrats. You know, it's like the media is, I don't want to say is evil or the devil or any other, but they love twisting shit to fit their agenda. Like one story turns into like five different stories.
Hey, it's well, all it's all money grab.
Emotion, no, that's all they're out to do, really. Mm-hmm. And obviously make money as well. So
exactly.
I mean, and do people are stupid enough to give it to them.
Yeah. Like, people are getting paid to do all that shit. Like, you hear the stories, like, oh, they pay people to go to Trump rallies and, like, cause, like, a ruckus and stuff. Like, I kind of feel like that's true. I mean, and not necessarily Trump rallies. I'm just saying, like, in general. Like,
yeah, no, it's entirely possible. Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, we've seen Craigslist. We've seen the shit people will pay for.
That is true.
Yes. that's fun to... fun to skim through, to be honest with you.
Yeah, seriously, the men seeking men and women seeking women, it's hysterical.
Yeah, we've put some friends up there, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh man. Yo, watch my picture on Craigslist.
In the wrong position, and you're getting a picture taken of you, and you're going on Craigslist, men seeking men.
Oh man. Yo, why am I getting all these phone calls? These weird voicemails.
I want to shit on your chest. Wait, what? What the fuck?
Guy sent a bottle of lube to my address. I don't know why.
How do you get my address? This is odd.
I don't even know if anyone would like raise an eyebrow in my friend group if any of that shit happened to them.
Oh, man.
It was you. They probably just think someone was fucking around.
Oh, man. But that's the problem is if you don't find it right away and delete it, I mean, the more extravagant the advertisement is, the more phone calls you're going to get.
Like, oh, yeah. I remember,
like one morning zoo radio, I think it was like Elvis Duran. He actually, one of the people on there set up another person by saying, I have free monkeys, will deliver to anywhere. If you say free monkeys, of course you're going to click on it and go, okay, how does this whole work?
Yeah, where are these monkeys at? Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'd say.
It's like anything when someone's like walking behind you and they say, don't back up. You back up, but just not like enough to hit them. Yeah. Like, don't look at that. You immediately look at it. It's like hard to not do that.
Like, if your homie gets de pants, you're looking at his dick. You know what I mean? You're not gay, but you're looking at his dick.
Oh, man.
All right, we're going to cut and splice that one out, Derek.
Derek likes looking at men's dicks.
Put a picture of me smiling with two thumbs up on there.
Oh, man.
A picture of meat spin in the background.
Yo, I'll rep that.
Dude, that totally reminds me of Big Daddy.
Ruined so many people's computers with that shit.
The movie Big Daddy.
Such when a thing a few years ago, man. Oh.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Cutting that too.
Yep.
Soundbite after soundbite, Derek, and I fucking love you.
You guys are welcome. All right.
Cat killer.
Yeah.
No, that was Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
See, exactly. Dude, this comes perfect full circle to what we were talking about. Guys throwing cats out the window, saving their life on a trampoline. They cut it, don't show the trampoline, and the guy's a fucking cat killer. It's exactly how the media works.
That's fucked up, too. That cat probably had a good time on that trampoline.
Exactly.
And who to think a mediocre B-list movie like Mr. Deeds would basically make everything come full circle, talk about media's having their own agendas. I mean,
it's Adam, baby. Adam knows the drill.
Fucking Adam Sandler, man. Jesus, what happened to him?
I don't know. He's filming Netflix movies with David Spade. Apparently, that movie's not bad.
The Do-Over is really, is actually pretty good.
Is that that's the movie, right?
Yeah. He also did this that like six movie, which looked terrible, so I didn't even watch it. But
oh, the Western one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard telling. He's made it out. He's made his money. I don't think he gives a shit anymore. Mm-hmm. He's rolling along with it.
No, dude, we were actually discussing this the other day at work. It's like, oh, I want to go on a amazing vacation to an unknown island that nobody knows about. Let me just go do a shitty movie and make a couple million.
Yeah, exactly. For one vacation. That's probably what that is.
Yeah. But, hey, anyways, I think this is a good time to wrap things up. I know you probably have a busy and fun-filled Friday night, Derek. What are you doing tonight anyway?
Tonight, actually, I'm just going to chill and probably see some normal friends. I have to, like, work tomorrow, and then there's a big old Halloween party happening Saturday, mm-hmm. which worked out for me because we leave for those shows next week. Yeah. So, really, I'm kind of just preparing for that shit.
So, no,
that's my costume together.
No hookers and cocaine for you?
Not tonight. You know, we'll see how Saturday goes.
Still out on tour. So, New Jersey, Poughkeepsie, and Philly, come on out for some hookers and blow.
Yep. If y'all want to come party, you know where to find it.
Oh, man.
We're taking Puke Rock to the next level, motherfuckers. Anyways, what are you dressing up for Halloween as?
Negan from The Walking Dead. You watch The Walking Dead?
I don't personally, Dan.
Yeah, I've seen. I've watched the newest part of the newest season until, dude, I can't even remember his name. But when the Asian guy falls and almost dies, I'm kind of like, I'm bored of this.
Glenn. Yeah. I won't dive into that, so nothing gets spoiled.
Well, but I said almost, and I didn't go past that, so he could have died. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you'll just have to watch and see.
Exactly.
How did you stop there? That show is so fucking addicting.
I don't know. I guess because I don't know. I mean, I do a lot of stuff outside of it and, like, watching random shit. And unfortunately, it's hard to binge watch TV with my girlfriend. So I don't know. I just kind of got to that point where, you know, like, when you're not really paying attention on your cell phone, I kind of did that with this season. It was like, I'm kind of bored of it and stopped watching.
Gotcha. Or you were just waiting for Glenn to die because you hate Asians. And
exactly.
So once he died, oh, fuck
yeah,
the show.
Now everyone's going to totally not listen to this podcast because you said that. Great. Thanks.
Soundbite. You're welcome.
Podcast host hates Asians. Click here. But anyways, Derek, thank you so much. We usually have the person talking choose a song from their band to play out of the episode. I can't speak. That's what happens when you talk for like an hour straight. Like, it gets my mouth. I'm like, but anyway, do you have a song for us to play this out for?
Hot Soap.
Doing Hot Soap? Fuck it. That's awesome, man. So that means we're going to intro with Keep Alone because that's my favorite song off of Strangers Alone. Strangers Only, I'm sorry. So,
you're cool,
fuck.
You're cool. It's a tongue twister.
It really is. Keep Alone, Strangers Only. Keep Alone, Strangers Only. See, I can't even do it.
It's cool. Strangers Alone. We'll just change the name just for you. It's all good.
There we go. So anyways, I'm sorry?
So we got your back.
Yes. Thank you. So anyways, next Friday, come on out to Game Changer World in Howell, New Jersey. Saturday is the sold out fest, not sold out as in like tickets no longer available. There's tickets available up at the Chance in Poughkeepsie, New York, and then Creep Records on Sunday in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that should be one hell of a good time. There might be some new music being played. I don't know. You just have to go up. You have to go show up, buy a ticket and find out for yourselves. And then film everything on YouTube and spoil it for everyone else.
Yep, absolutely. That's how it goes.
All right. So anyways, here's Hot Soap by My Ticket Home. Thank you so much, Derek. It's really an honor to talk with you.
Thank you guys as well, man. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
All right, man. Have a great night.